97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Woke up this morning, wanted to cry. Then I remembered, yes, I know why. He's a real good one for having his cake. I'm gonna go fishing or jump in the lake.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox here alongside my partner Bo Matthews and producer Carl Middleman. And
hi.
There you go. Good to have you along
with
us. Happy weekend. It is a happy weekend, and hopefully you're enjoying the great weather and all that good stuff. I mean, how much more of that can we have, really, Bo?
Oh, this is the perfect time. Leaves are changing. Of course, the threat of old man winter is knocking on the door, but you know what? We will have, what do they call it, Indian summer? Can I still say that in 2023?
Probably not.
It'll bump up. Okay, well,
Native American summer. Thank
indigenous
you.
Summer.
Oh, indigenous people's summer.
Thank you. Thank you. But this is the time of the year that we are trying to, you know, wrap up, you know, house projects and all the outdoor stuff, and then starting to work and think of what we're going to do through the winter months, because you got to stay busy. But yeah, love this weather.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and hopefully people are out. I know it's already hunting season. I was talking to my brother-in-law the other day. He had taken my nephew out bow hunting because he's wanting to get
nice.
He's been practicing, and he's wanting to get a big nice big deer with his bow.
That's very cool. Yeah, a lot of action going on, and we're seeing a lot of deer out in Jefferson County where I live, and it's just. Everything's on the move right now.
And it'll be gun season soon. So speaking of guns, Bo, what do you have for the people?
That was awesome, Mark. So much respect for you. So we have our spring Big Dogs Poker Bash in support of the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. And we actually just had our first meeting of that as we plan, because there's so much that goes into it. But one thing that we came up with, and we're going to start raising money for the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund directly with, check this out, Mark, a Year of Guns raffle. Okay, we are going to limit it to only 250 tickets for the whole year. Each ticket is worth, it costs you $100, okay? But in that $100, your name stays in the drawing for all 12 drawings. So if you win gun number one in December, we'll be doing the drawings on the 15th of each month. Your name stays in there for January, February, and all the way through the year. And they are everything. Sig Sauers, Glock, Springfields, Weatherbys, Rugers. There's rifles, handguns. It's fantastic. So
Wow. The
idea is that I want to get you a Christmas gift, Mark. I have no idea what to get you, or somebody has no idea what to get somebody. You can get them this ticket, and that their name will be in the drawing for all 12 gun raffles. So if you want more information, what's that?
I thought
he's
giving you a gun.
One out of 250 chances at a gun.
That's very nice of you, Bo. Have you already submitted my $100?
I'll submit your $100. Absolutely. I was going to give it as a gift, but forget that.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you.
Anyway, get your tickets now. Go to the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund page on Facebook, or go to my page before it gets canceled, and we'll have information on there for you to get your guns. So there you go.
Very good. Yeah. All right. We also want to talk about the outdoors portion of what you got going on right now, an opportunity for people to get outside. Next weekend, we got Ken Bartels with us. He's with the Concord Village Lions. They're doing their Fish for Sight event coming up on October 28th. Ken, welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. And by the way, hey, Bo, if you want to buy me a gift, I'll take one of those tickets, too. Awesome.
He's handing them out now, apparently.
If you're handing out Christmas gifts, that's awesome. So.
Let me start my list here. and actually somebody else said they were going to give me their Christmas list. I'm like, I'm not Santa. I'm his body double, but I'm not Santa. On the Missouri Brush Control guest line, Ken Bartels, a great friend for a long time to me and my circle of people, does a great job. And I'll tell you what, my dad is a Lion out in New Jersey, and the Lions have done so much just in this Fish for Sight tournament. They've generated $1.1 million over the last 31 years. So, Ken, tell us, we're short on time, but tell us what you got going on next weekend.
Well, Saturday, October 28th, is our 32nd annual tournament. It's a great amateur tournament. a lot of fun down at PB2 at the Lake of the Ozarks, and we just appreciate the opportunity for you guys to share it with your listeners and let us talk just a minute about it. It's a great event for us, and we're just looking forward to another successful, you know, closing out our 32nd year down there. So
yeah.
It's a fantastic event. It's a truly great weekend. So
yeah, explain that again for people who aren't familiar with it. You said Lake of the Ozarks PB2?
Yeah, PB2 is the public boat access there, right on public road, Osage Beach area off of 54, and it's a boat launch area that's kind of a park area, and we use that as home base for this tournament. We got a great pavilion over there. There'll be food and just a lot of activity going on that day of the event. I mean, again, it's an annual tradition for us down there that PB2 area is the launching area for that, if you will. So
yeah, we are talking to Ken Bartels, and you're still the president, yeah? President of the Lions?
I'm the immediate past president. I served my term last year, if you will, a successful year for our club, and Lion Joe Russo is our current acting president of the Concord Village Lions Club.
Good deal. But we've got you to talk about the fishing tournament. We want to mention, because like we were saying at the beginning of this segment, that people are just trying to get their, things in before the snow flies. And that's the same with this tournament. It's $200 a boat. But talk about the prize money that you're going to be giving away. All these anglers want to get out there and win that.
Well, so we've got a $7,500 guaranteed first place prize. We've got a couple different divisions. So we've got a guy and gal division that's paying out three spots. The $7,500 prize is the first place overall prize, if you will, for the biggest weigh-in, if you will. And then we've got different prizes throughout that day as well. We are offering a $25 discount for military and active first responders.
Nice.
We do a kind of a complimentary dinner on Friday night that we run. Those are for people that are showing up on Friday evening, the 27th. We do a fish fry and some other things down there Friday evening for early registration. And then we try to get this event underway Saturday morning, where we have registration in the morning that begins at 5:30, and try to get the tournament underway at 7 o'clock. It's just a single day tournament on Saturday, October the 28th.
And even if you don't catch the biggest fish, you still have attendance prizes and raffles and all that involved, right?
We do. Yeah. We do. Yeah. And we have a great barbecue and event that afternoon during the weigh-in, running from about 2-3 o'clock on, into the early evening. And I mean, again, it's just a great fun event. And we've had a lot of success with that tournament over the 31 years that we've been doing it, we always say this as a club, our motto is real simple. We have a lot of fun raising money, and we have a lot of fun giving it away. So
that's awesome. And Delta Gamma, Ronald McDonald House, Missouri School for the Blind, Camp Wonderland, and so many others benefit from the Concord Village Lions. Ken Bartels, thanks for joining us. If you want more details and you want to make a plan to join them down there for this tournament next Saturday, actually the festivities get underway the night before, go to fishforesight.org or the concordvillagelions.org. Ken, good luck next week, and I hope it's a great turnout for you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having us on again, okay?
You bet. Sounds like fun, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who are really into fishing. So they got a guys and gals category. Did you hear that?
I did.
I'm sure there are a lot of ladies who are much better fishermen than I am.
Yeah.
But, did they get to start on the red tees?
Wow.
I mean, is there any advantage to for them?
Bow bunnies.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just asking. I thought it was a fair question.
What did you say, Carl?
I said bow bunnies.
Bow, as in the bow of a boat?
Yes.
Hey.
Misogynist.
Oh, you massage. You're awful, Carl.
No, I'm saying that they get to fish from the front of the boat.
Oh, I see.
Rather than the stern.
They probably do.
Oh, my gosh.
Nah, we're okay. In trouble now.
Yep.
Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith. She is with the National Police Association out there representing members of law enforcement and fighting back in these states where they're really instituting a bunch of new gun laws. They call them gun reform laws. They are anti-Second Amendment efforts. That's really what it is. We're going to get her take on that. Plus, if you like to travel, the time to start planning is right now. We're going to talk to my friend Brent Dalrymple with the Sunrise Tours. He's got some great ideas for 2024 coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Come catch me a trout.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, I'm Bo Matthews. Carl Middleman is our producer, doing a fine job of it. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. And Jesse over at Razorback has been a busy, busy man. People are looking for a way to protect themselves. After you see the international headlines, heck, even the local headlines, and they're seeing a lot of new faces in the doors of Razorback Armory, and you should be one of them if you've never been. You will be shocked and glad that you went in. Go to RazorbackArmory.com, get their address, tell them Bo sent you in there. This segment is going to talk about the gun laws that are going on, new gun reform legislation, and on the Missouri Brush Control guest line, we have Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith. Now, we're going to go to this person because it's a lifelong commitment to law enforcement, starting her career back at the age of 17 years old, and has held positions in patrol investigations, narcotics, juvenile, hostage negotiation, crime prevention, canine. I mean, she's done it all, and she's still working hard. Sergeant Brantner-Smith is a spokesperson for the National Police Association, which is a nonprofit supports law enforcement officers across the U.S. So welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. How are you today?
I'm excited to be with you guys. Thanks.
Thank you. We're excited about it. We call you in now because we want to talk about some things that are changing in the era of the Biden administration. Three blue states are putting into effect a slew of new gun laws. These are gun reform law legislation. Let's just break the ice. Where would you like to start? Colorado, Maryland, Connecticut, because they're creeping in everywhere.
Well, they are. And then there's other states like New Mexico that are doing crazy things. Let's start in Massachusetts with HC 4607, and I love what they title it, an act of a modernizing firearms laws.
Love it.
Yeah, this goes back to, when you talk about the Second Amendment and they say, well, that's when we had muskets and things like that, you know, so they want to modernize firearms laws, which I mean, you just have to laugh. You have to laugh at most of these, quite frankly.
Well, they had Gatling guns back then. I mean, it's not like they didn't have semi-automatic, almost fully automatic weapons. It's just crazy.
What about cannons?
Yeah,
cannons too.
Well, and this is the thing. You know, we 60% of households in this country own firearms, and yet we're still strangely debating this. Is the Second Amendment, is it expired? Is it too old? You know, this and that. So in Massachusetts, basically what they're doing is trying to limit the carry of firearms by anyone in what they quote sensitive areas. Now, when you look at the list of sensitive areas, it's most public places. But the Massachusetts is trying to go one step further, and they're saying this is going to include off-duty cops, concealed carry holders, and that's just extraordinary. They just basically want to eliminate the carry of a firearm in most public places by any legal firearm holder. So yeah. it makes no logical sense. But they've even got the League of Women Voters, which, you know, used to be a pretty decent group, but this is the Massachusetts chapter, not the national, but they're backing it. And there's a lot of talk in Massachusetts about we've got to bring gun deaths to zero. And that's just, that's a childish notion. And
I know. Given the fact that they skew the statistics completely, and the mainstream media plays right along with it. And, you know, the majority of gun deaths are connected to suicides, And, and you know, a lot of the ones where they claim that all of these children are being killed are connected to gang violence. They consider a 17-year-old man a child. And these people are being killed in gang violence across the country. And as a law enforcement officer, now retired, I'm sure you've dealt with this frustration yourself. Most of the police officers I know strongly support the Second Amendment.
Well, and there's your thing, and you always hear this in the media that law enforcement wants more common sense gun control and better gun laws and this and that. In reality, when you look at who the media is quoting as law enforcement, it tends to be police chiefs. You know, we just had the International Association of Chiefs Police Conference, and the IACP tends to come out for more gun control. But famously, a website that I actually used to write for, PoliceOne.com, a few years ago, did a survey of actual boots-on-the-ground law enforcement officers. And what did they find out? Of course, that most cops, revere the Second Amendment. Remember, the first thing a cop does when they get hired is take an oath to the Constitution. And that's why the National Police Association has gotten involved in Second Amendment issues, because we believe in a citizen's right to help protect themselves, especially in an atmosphere where 9 out of 10 police departments are short-staffed. Cops can't be everywhere, and by the time you're calling 911, especially if there's a fireman involved, sometimes it's too late. So you need to be able to protect yourself.
You literally took the words out of my mouth. I was just gonna say that. But you know, when it comes down to it, and something happens and law enforcement is not there, you're waiting on them. Hopefully, 911 answers. We've had issues here in St. Louis with that. Mm-hmm. But in that crossover between citizens arrest, to law enforcement showing up to the scene, as an experienced law enforcement personnel yourself, Sergeant, what is that transition? How do the police officers know who's the good guy, who's the bad guy when they roll up on a scene? Can we break that down before we get into Colorado and the other states?
Absolutely, because this is something, I'm also a police trainer. This is something that we teach nationally. My husband and I, we teach law enforcement officers as well, because when you're a good guy with a gun, but you're off duty and you're in a t-shirt and blue jeans and the cops roll up on a man with a gun call, you want to be able to make sure that the police officers immediately can figure out who's the good guys and who's the bad guys. So what we tell citizens, and of course off-duty cops, is first and foremost, do everything those uniformed law enforcement officers tell you to do. If they tell you, put your hands up, drop your gun, get on the ground, stand on your head, whatever it is they tell you to do, do it. Because when a police officer comes to a scene where there are armed individuals, we don't know who is the good guy and who is the bad guy. And you know how we figure it out? Who complies with us. So absolutely do that. Make sure the law enforcement officers can see your hands at all times. Because, you know, we see this all the time. Media doesn't want you to know it. But a good guy with a gun very often stops a bad guy with a gun. But we want to make sure those uniformed police officers know who the good guy is and who the bad guy. So when they come, take control of the scene and then loudly express yourself. You know, whether it's I'm the crime victim, this guy tried to shoot me, you know, yes, sir, officer, no, sir, officer, you know, whatever you need, you know, I'm the good guy, I'm the guy who called 911. Be loud about it. Be repetitive about it. Be calm. But be insistent, because again, and you guys know this because you practice with firearms, when you are in that potential deadly force situation, there's a lot going on with your body. There's a lot going on with your brain. And very often we experience what is called auditory exclusion, where we don't hear the first 3 times of you saying, I'm the one who called 911. I'm the good guy here. Repeat yourself repetitively, loudly, but not hysterically, and make sure that those police officers know very quickly that you're the good guy with the gun.
See, Bo and I are in radio, so we don't have to worry about our brain and body being actively engaged a lot.
I'm into fitness. I'm into fitness. Fitness pizza in my mouth.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, nice, Bo. Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, our guest from the National Police Association. I know that you grew up over here in Illinois, the great state of Illinois, I understand. And what do you think about that Safety Act? Because pretty soon you might get pulled over in Illinois by somebody who's not a United States citizen.
The Safety Act is just one of the banes of my existence. It's painful. It's painful for my brothers and sisters. I was a police officer in the Chicago suburbs for 29 years. And again, we still train throughout Illinois. And as we talk to police leaders and police officers, you know, there were some goods, I do have to say, some goods that came out of the Safety Act, some additional funding for police training and police officer mental health, which is a huge issue. But the no cash bail, which, of course, Governor J.B. Pritzker just loves to brag about, and you know, some of the other ridiculous, quote-unquote, reforms that came out of the Safety Act, it's making life more difficult for law enforcement in Illinois and more difficult for the citizens of Illinois. Chicago just, there's an article out just today that Chicago's homicide rates are up again. And you know who are the victims? The black residents of Chicago are 77% of the victims. So how's that no cash bail? How are those Soros-installed prosecutors? How is the Safety Act working out for the city of Chicago and the rest of the state? It's not. And people need to wake up. But I don't know. I bailed out to Arizona because I couldn't take it anymore.
Very smart. Better weather.
Yeah. That was one of the actually, that was the last stop on my radio tour journey before coming to St. Louis was Tucson, Arizona. I wanted to ask you about Colorado, though, just to the north of you, a beautiful mm-hmm. state for a lot of people, gorgeous, gorgeous places to see out there. But two laws passed by the legislature back in April that instills a 3-day waiting period for firearm purchases and to make the path easier for gun violence survivors and victims to sue manufacturers and dealers. Let's start with the first part of that, the 3-day waiting period. It kind of makes me laugh because as soon as I heard that we had a chance to talk to you about this, Sergeant Brantner Smith, was that that just gives the person, I mean, if the idea is, well, they don't want somebody that's, you know, erratic going in to buy purchasing a gun and then going and using it right there that day. Well, that to me, it's laughable to me because it's only more planning time for the person. If that's a nut job that's trying to get a gun. Do you believe in 3 or 7 day waiting periods for firearm purchases?
This is something that we have been debating for decades, just in law enforcement circles. And, you know, it's so sad. I just drove through Colorado last week on my way home from an antelope hunt. And it's such a beautiful state, although the whole southern half, it smells like weed now. And
yeah,
and
here too.
You know, there's so many people that revere the Second Amendment. And yet they come up with these laws. This 3 or 7 day cooling off period does nothing but, A, like you said, give somebody who's planning some sort of big active shooter event more time to plan. And B, more importantly, I think it makes victims more vulnerable because, again, somebody who's going to commit a crime doesn't care about the laws. They're going to do what they need to do to get a firearm. But a domestic violence victim, people that the left used to care about, by the way, a domestic violence victim who has just left, you know, their abusive boyfriend, things like that, when they go to legally purchase a firearm, they can't even get their hands on it, you know, in 3 days or 7 days. So this cooling off period really only affects the victim. And then the making a better pathway, of course, to sue the manufacturers is ridiculous. Are we going to, you know, and of course, this is always our argument. You're going to, every DUI, you're going to sue Chevy or Ford, you know, for whatever kind of car the person was driving, things like that. It's silliness. But, you know, you look at Connecticut and what happened with the Sandy Hook lawsuits there's legislatures, as you guys know, around this country, including our federal administration, who just want, they know they can't get rid of the Second Amendment, so they're going to chip away little by little at everyone's rights, and companies are going to give up manufacturing guns, you know, the whole, you know, California and the bullets and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's just so much silliness. I wish we could go back to educating children in our schools about gun safety and about the actual physical mechanics of how a firearm works. If the whole 100%. Country really understood that, you know, I don't think we'd have all these ridiculous arguments.
No, I think you're right. Sergeant Betsy Brandner-Smith with the National Police Association, nationalpolice.org. Go there and check out their wall of shame. I love that. It says shamed at the top, and I clicked on it. And it's all these states like Massachusetts and Colorado that are just working on infringing on your Second Amendment rights. Keep up the great work, Sergeant. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, you guys. I sure appreciate it.
You bet. And we will have you on again in the future as these subjects come up. How about that?
I want to hear about the antelope hunt. Holy cow.
Nice fat dough in my freezer.
That's awesome.
We'll be over for dinner. All right, coming up, we are going to travel the world. We're going to talk to Sunrise Tours representative Brent Dalrymple coming up next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Stay right there.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, and we're happy that you're with us. I have to brag a little bit about, speaking of the outdoors, because I was a little spoiled back in August. I got to travel to the Danube River. I got to start out in Budapest and take this fantastic river tour, and it was great. And I've told you a little bit about it here on the show. I've talked to Bo and Carl about it when I got back, and it was fantastic. But I've been wanting to have Brent Dalrymple on from Sunrise Tours, and he's joining us right now to talk a little bit more about that trip, which he took with us, and some others that may be coming up. Brent, welcome into the show.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I should mention I got Brent on the Missouri Brush Control guest line this morning, and it's great having you on, my friend. You ended up leaving our tour a few days early to go do some research on another tour. Man, you're busy all the time.
I tell you, yes, I am. We're always searching out new destinations and scouting new places, both in the U.S. and Europe. I left the cruise there on the Danube to head to northern Germany and cruised on the Elbe River for a few days. Spent some time in Lüneburg, Germany, and Berlin. Really a neat cruise we'll be offering in 2025. We have to plan quite a bit ahead, as you can imagine.
I'll bet. Well, you know, I personally can't say enough about the level of customer service, and I mean the tour guides were fantastic that Sunrise brought along with us, and everything was taken care of. Three meals a day on the boat, you walk off the ramp and there's a bus waiting for you for the tours. I mean, it was just all top flight, and we really had a great time.
Thanks, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's European river cruising has become one of our most popular offerings. It's a fantastic product. You unpack your bag once, you've got your stateroom for 7 nights typically. And like you said, each day you stop and you're exploring a new historic European town, whether it's a walking tour or sometimes we take a short ride to see the countryside and the small villages and historic towns. I love it. It's a great experience. I'm glad you and your family enjoyed it.
We sure did.
Brent Dalrymple is our guest from Sunrise Tours. Brent, this is Bo. Nice to meet you on the phone here anyway. I just think it's so cool. This has got to be a dream job. On the surface, it seems like a dream job for you. But is it really like herding cats when you're dealing with all these people like Mark and his wife and all the crazy people?
Well, at times it can be. But I can say that we have a fantastic staff of tour directors trained in working with groups and keeping track of folks and keeping them updated on the itinerary for the day and making sure that all of our Sunrise Tours go really smoothly. So you're right. It is a dream job. It's a business my parents started about 30 years ago here in St. Louis, and I run it now. And it has been, I can I can say wholeheartedly it is a dream job. It's a great business.
Yeah. Well, travelsunrise.com is the website. They have got so many different trips, so many different places you can go. But before I get past your comment there, Bo, about herding cats, let me tell you about the level of customer service here. I forget which town it was in, to be honest with you, but the travel guides that went with us, a lady lost her phone. She left her phone at one of these tours.
Oh,
and
boy.
You would not believe the hoops they jumped through to get that lady's phone back. And they got back to the boat with it just before the boat was scheduled to like untie from the moorings and take off. And the lady just couldn't believe she got her phone back. She was so excited.
You know, quick anecdote to that, to add to that. She left her phone at a site we were visiting, and then a cleaning lady at the site found it and finished her cleaning job and went to her next cleaning job. And my tour director, Michelle, tracked down this cleaning lady and went and got the phone and brought it back to the boat. So it was pretty remarkable. I'm thrilled that she was able to do that.
Yeah, well, it just speaks to how far they're willing to go to make you happy, which is true.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it really was. You know, so I got your new guide for 2024, and oddly enough, like here we're talking about going to Europe, right on the front page of the fall catalog for Sunrise Tours is Glacier National Park. Now, that's where I had gone with my camper just before I took the tour with you guys to the Danube River. What's it like going on a sunrise tour to Glacier National Park, Brent?
Well, we plan the vacation from start to finish. We usually travel with 30 to 40 people from the St. Louis area. In that case, we'll fly out to Spokane, I believe, and get on our motor coach there. And, of course, all the hotels and the meals and the local guides are booked. So it's an all-inclusive package with a high degree of personal service, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
We'll fly with the folks from the airport here in St. Louis out west and take care of everything from luggage handling to the hotels, local guides, lodging. It's we like to think it's a kind of one-stop shopping for your national parks vacation.
You know, I got to think, the age groups that are normally on these trips, I would guess are 40 plus, 50 plus. What would you say? And wouldn't it be awesome? I mean, if I was in my 20s and knew about what you do at Sunrise Tours, I would want to be doing this in my 20s or 30s.
Yeah.
Just because, I know everybody's working hard, but, you know, so many people just save and save and save and work and work and work. But to be able to do some of these experiences like you lay out with the accommodations that you have has got to be a true gift. What is the age group that you generally are working with?
Our tours, our vacations are planned and paced for retirement age travelers. So most of our travelers are in their 60s and 70s. That being said, we do have multi-generational families travel with us all the time. You know, a good example is Mark and his family. So a lot of times we have grandkids, kids, grandparents. But our tours are, as I said, planned and paced. We don't include rocky hikes, for example, or 1 mile walks. We try to make it easy for people in their 60s and 70s. We even have folks in their 80s. You wouldn't believe the way some folks in their 80s are still getting around and exploring the world, which is really, really exhilarating to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, most folks are retirement age that travel with us.
Yeah, but I'll just add, we took our 15-year-old daughter with us. Michelle and I are clearly not retired yet. And for the boat carries bikes. Like the boat we were on, the Amadeus boat, the Amadeus Cara, had some of the assist bikes and regular bikes with chains on them that are available.
Gotcha.
That are available to people on the boat. So one day we chose to take the bikes with us into Vienna. We took the tour with the group, and then when they got on the bus to go back to the boat, we stayed with the bikes. We biked all around Vienna, and then we biked ourselves back to the boat later. So those opportunities are there, even though clearly a lot of the tours may be targeted for people that don't want as much, activity. I thought that was great, Brent.
That's a great point. We do build in free time, so if somebody wants to take a hike in the national park or a brisk walk around town if we're in New York City or something like that, there are opportunities to get out and explore and certainly exercise a lot and move around a lot. But I guess it's the case we don't mandate that they do. We won't say, all right, grab your backpack. We're going to hike a mile and a half up this mountain here. So
it's, yeah,
yeah, right.
There are opportunities.
Yeah, that's
great. I think it's amazing because you guys have thought of everything. As I mean, it's so easy. Plus, your algorithms are awesome. I literally punched in the word sunrise, and I didn't get the time of today's sunrise or anything. No, it went right to Sunrise Tours. This is really cool because you do think of everything, especially the meals. That's always a concern for me when I travel. It's like, okay, where am I going to get my next meal? Talk about how the logistics, Brent, on how you get this all figured out.
Well, it's a lot of planning. Of course, we're booking. As I mentioned, I was planning a 2025 departure a couple months ago. We're booking hotels a year in advance. We're booking restaurants as you know, 6 to 9 months in advance. Sometimes they don't book a year in advance, but wow. We're booking the best guides a year in advance. So you know, our Mark mentioned our new tour catalog, which is available at our website. You can give us a call. That goes through 2024. Now we're working on 2025 departures. So it's all about planning well in advance.
Yeah, kind of hit the highlights. I mean, we've talked about the Danube River cruise while I was there. You guys convinced me I also need to do the Rhine River cruise, which was outstanding. You're all over Europe. You're going to the Panama Canal. You've got trips all over domestically in the United States. I mean, you got it all covered.
We do. We kind of built our business exploring the United States and Canada over the past 10 years. I would say interest in Europe has exploded. The European river cruises. We've got a great trip to England and Scotland, which.
Welcome back. It is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, and we're happy that you're with us. I have to brag a little bit about, speaking of the outdoors, because I was a little spoiled back in August. I got to travel to the Danube River. I got to start out in Budapest and take this fantastic river tour, and it was great. And I've told you a little bit about it here on the show. I've talked to Bo and Carl about it when I got back, and it was fantastic. But I've been wanting to have Brent Dalrymple on from Sunrise Tours. And he's joining us right now to talk a little bit more about that trip, which he took with us, and some others that may be coming up. Brent, welcome into the show.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I should mention I got Brent on the Missouri Brush Control guest line this morning, and it's great having you on, my friend. You ended up leaving our tour a few days early to go do some research on another tour. Man, you're busy all the time.
I tell you, yes. I am. We're always searching out new destinations and scouting new places, both in the U.S. and Europe. I left the cruise there on the Danube to head to northern Germany and cruised on the Elbe River for a few days. Spent some time in Lüneburg, Germany, and Berlin. Really a neat cruise we'll be offering in 2025. We have to plan quite a bit ahead, as you can imagine.
I'll bet. Well, you know, I personally can't say enough about the level of customer service, and I mean the tour guides were fantastic that Sunrise brought along with us, and everything was taken care of. Three meals a day on the boat. You walk off the ramp and there's a bus waiting for you for the tours. I mean, it was just all top flight, and we really had a great time.
Thanks, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's European River Cruising has become one of our most popular offerings. It's a fantastic product. You unpack your bag once, you've got your stateroom for 7 nights typically. And like you said, each day you stop and you're exploring a new historic European town, whether it's a walking tour or sometimes we take a short ride to see the countryside and the small villages and historic towns. I love it. It's a great experience. I'm glad you and your family enjoyed it.
We sure did.
Brent Dalrymple is our guest from Sunrise Tours. Brent, this is Bo. Nice to meet you on the phone here anyway. I just think it's so cool. This has got to be a dream job. On the surface, it seems like a dream job for you. But is it really like herding cats when you're dealing with all these people like Mark and his wife and all the crazy people?
Well, at times it can be, but I can say that we have a fantastic staff of tour directors. trained in working with groups and keeping track of folks and keeping them updated on the itinerary for the day and making sure that all of our sunrise tours go really smoothly. So you're right. It is a dream job. It's a business my parents started about 30 years ago here in St. Louis, and I run it now, and it has been I can say wholeheartedly it is a dream job. It's a great business.
Yeah. Well, travelsunrise.com is the website. They have got so many different trips, so many different places you can go. But before I get past your comment there, Bo, about herding cats, let me tell you about the level of customer service here. I forget which town it was in, to be honest with you, but the travel guides that went with us, a lady lost her phone. She left her phone at one of these tours.
Oh,
and
boy.
You would not believe the hoops they jumped through to get that lady's phone back. And they got back to the boat with it just before the boat was scheduled to like untie from the moorings and take off. And the lady just couldn't believe she got her phone back. She was so excited.
You know, quick anecdote to that. To add to that, she left her phone at a site we were visiting, and then a cleaning lady at the site found it and finished her cleaning job and went to her next cleaning job. And my tour director, Michelle, tracked down this cleaning lady and went and got the phone and brought it back to the boat. So it was pretty remarkable. I'm thrilled that she was able to do that.
Yeah, well, it just speaks to how far they're willing to go to make you happy, which is true.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it really was. You know, so I got your new guide for 2024, and oddly enough, like here we're talking about going to Europe, right on the front page of the fall catalog for Sunrise Tours is Glacier National Park. Now, that's where I had gone with my camper just before I took the tour with you guys to the Danube River. What's it like going on a sunrise tour to Glacier National Park, Brent?
Well, we plan the vacation from start to finish. We usually travel with 30 to 40 people from the St. Louis area. In that case, we'll fly out to Spokane, I believe, and get on our motor coach there. And, of course, all the hotels and the meals and the local guides are booked. So it's an all-inclusive package with a high degree of personal service, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
We'll fly with the folks from the airport here in St. Louis out west and take care of everything from luggage handling to the hotels, local guides, lodging. It's we like to think it's a kind of one-stop shopping for your national parks vacation.
You know, I got to think, you know, the age groups that are normally on these trips, I would guess are 40 plus, 50 plus. What would you say? And wouldn't it be awesome? I mean, if I was in my 20s and knew about what you do at Sunrise Tours, I would want to be doing this in my 20s or 30s.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, you know, I know everybody's working hard, but, you know, so many people just save and save and save and work and work and work. But to be able to do some of these experiences like you lay out with the accommodations that you have has got to be a true gift. What is the age group that you generally are working with?
Our tours, our vacations are planned and paced for retirement age travelers. So most of our travelers are in their 60s and 70s. That being said, we do have multi-generational families travel with us all the time. You know, a good example is Mark and his family. So a lot of times we have grandkids, kids, grandparents. But our, you know, to be clear, our tours are, as I said, planned and paced. We don't include rocky hikes, for example, or 1 mile walks. We try to make it easy for people in their 60s and 70s. We even have folks in their 80s. You wouldn't believe the way some folks in their 80s are still getting around and exploring the world, which is really, really exhilarating to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, most folks are retirement age that travel with us.
Yeah, but I'll just add, you know, we took our 15-year-old daughter with us. Michelle and I are clearly not retired yet. And for the boat carries bikes. Like the boat we were on, the Amadeus boat, the Amadeus Cara, had some of the assist bikes and regular bikes with chains on them that are available.
Gotcha.
That are available to people on the boat. So one day we chose to take the bikes with us into Vienna. We took the tour with the group, and then when they got on the bus to go back to the boat, we stayed with the bikes. We biked all around Vienna, and then we biked ourselves back to the boat later. So those those opportunities are there, even though clearly a lot of the tours may be targeted for people that don't want as much, you know, activity. I thought that was great, Brent.
That's a great point. We do build in free time. So if somebody wants to take a hike in the national park or a brisk walk around town, if we're in New York City or something like that, there are opportunities to get out and explore and certainly exercise a lot and move around a lot. But I guess it's the case we don't mandate that they do. We won't say, all right, grab your backpack. We're going to hike a mile and a half up this mountain here. So
yeah, right.
There are opportunities.
Yeah,
I think it's amazing because you guys have thought of everything. As I mean, it's so easy. Plus, your algorithms are awesome. I literally punched in the word sunrise, and I didn't get the time of today's sunrise or anything. No, it went right to Sunrise Tours. This is really cool because you do think of everything, especially the meals. That's always a concern for me when I travel. It's like, okay, where am I going to get my next meal? Talk about how the logistics, Brent, on how you get this all figured out.
Well, it's a lot of planning. Of course, we're booking. As I mentioned, I was planning a 2025 departure a couple months ago. We're booking hotels a year in advance. We're booking restaurants as you know, 6 to 9 months in advance. Sometimes they don't book a year in advance, but we're booking the best guides a year in advance. So, you know, our Mark mentioned our new tour catalog, which is available at our website. You can give us a call. That goes through 2024. Now we're working on 2025 departures. So it's all about planning well in advance.
Yeah, kind of hit the highlights. I mean, we've talked about the Danube River cruise while I was there. You guys convinced me I also need to do the Rhine River cruise, which was outstanding. You're all over Europe. You're going to the Panama Canal. You've got trips all over domestically in the United States. I mean, you got it all covered.
We do. We kind of built our business exploring the United States and Canada over the past 10 years. I would say interest in Europe has exploded. The European river cruises. We've got a great trip to England and Scotland, which visits the Downton Abbey Castle, Highclere Castle, and then up to Scotland for the Edinburgh Tattoo. We're adding Hawaii for the first time in several years next year. As you mentioned, Panama, we've got a great trip to Iceland that goes around the entire island of Iceland, which is somewhat unique. And our national parks tours always sell really well. Yosemite, Glacier that you mentioned. We have a new tour to featuring Washington, the state of Washington's national parks, which are Olympic and the San Juan Islands and Cascades National Parks. And we've also got, spring training trip down to Florida and trips to California and New England fall foliage. So, at this point, after 30 years, we've been just about everywhere, but we're constantly looking for new ways to visit and new ways to package the best sites around the world, really.
Well, it's a tremendous experience. I'll say that. We're talking to Brent Dalrymple from Sunrise Tours. You can call him at 314-926-9049,
or you can always go online to their website at travelsunrise.com and get yourself a copy of that new catalog for next year. Start planning now. I'm guessing, Brent, that people love to travel right now. I mean, they felt that COVID restriction. They felt tied down for so long, and now the travel industry is just exploding, right?
Yes, exactly. You can imagine 2020, early 2021 were extremely difficult for our business, but we have been frankly shocked with the snapback in interest in travel and international in particular. It's really been pretty amazing. I believe almost every international departure we offered this year, 2023, sold out, and many of them in 2024 are at least half, if not three quarters full. So it is true that booking early and thinking ahead is a great way to make sure you get your choice of vacation.
Yeah, well, it's we had a great time, and again, can't thank you guys enough for setting all that up. It was fantastic. Brent Dalrymple with Sunrise Tours, travelsunrise.com. We'll talk again soon, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Bo.
Yeah, thank you. Nice to meet you. Man, they think of everything. I'm a frequently asked questions guy because I got a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And just perusing their frequently asked questions, I mean, tips are basically included, of course, unless you want to be extra generous.
It's the best.
if you're a single person and you want to travel and you want to go on one of these cool tours, they'll match you up with somebody. I mean, they've thought of everything.
You know, they really have. And there were some people on our boat who were single, whether it was widowed, divorced, whatever the case happened to be.
Sure.
You know, and this is, that's why those tours are so perfect for them. Boat pulls up to the shore. You go to the top of the ramp. They take you on the tour. You don't have to plan anything. There, you can go out on your own if you want. It was just a great experience, I'll just have to say.
That's very cool.
That was good stuff.
Good stuff, man.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. And as we get closer to that retirement age, I might be going to that website more and more. You too, Carl.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for the show. Thank you for listening to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. And we, of course, are global on the World Wide Web. Go to the Odyssey app and you can download it and share this show, Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Have a great rest of your weekend. And thank you for listening.
We'll see you, boys.
Yeah, you do that.
Get more at 971talk.com.